You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another disappointing episode of Doing the Work, the first show on the Back Home Network covering IU women's basketball. And this is our 112th episode, recorded on Friday, March the 8th, 2024. I'm your host, Jeff Marlowe, joined tonight by my co-host, Kathy Amos. Tonight, we will be breaking down your number 12 Indiana Hoosiers 69-56 loss to the Michigan Wolverines in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament. This brings their record to 24-5 for the season. And now we will have to wait around for about the next 8 days, 9 days to find out on Selection Sunday where exactly IU will be going as we wait for that. We'll see whether they'll host or they'll go out on the road. But as usual, we'll start this show with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. And Kathy, it's really hard to find a banner moment in this game. I'm going to go to this one. I'm just going to kind of go. The fact that when we last saw her, you would have told me that Lily Meister would go out and give us 22 minutes. I would have told you there's no way that Lily Meister was going to give us 22 minutes. But Lily came off the bench today, bum ankle, sore ankle. They said it was swollen. It was actually had some purple to it. So I'm going to give the fact that Lily went out and played 22 minutes today, I'm going to give Lily the banner moment for her effort tonight. As usual, we start this show with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. Our banner moment is brought to you by Homefield Apparel, presenting sponsor of the Back Home Network, who includes the Assembly Call and Crimson Cast. Homefield is constantly releasing new schools or updating their products for schools in their existing line. You're bound to find something for you or anyone in your life that just loves great collegiate gear. Currently, they have a third month mania going on where you can get jerseys and shooting shirts, as well as they will be doing a bomber jacket restock. Also, Kathy, I don't know if you've seen this one. They've just put out some Indiana State stuff that looks really good on there as well. Not only do you get quality apparel, but you are supporting an Indiana-based business that has its roots in the Kelley School of Business. Go to homefieldapparel.com and use our promo code HOME23, that's HOME23, to get 15% off your entire first order. That's promo code HOME23 for 15% off. Once again, the website is homefieldapparel.com. Wear one for the team.
Oh, sorry. I got lost.
And before we head over to Kathy for her thoughts, let's get some news caught up here. Mackenzie Holmes was a unanimous selection to the All Big Ten team by the coaches and the media. She was also named to the All Defensive team. Sarah Scalia was chosen All Big Ten by the coaches and the media. Chloe Moore McNeil was chosen second team All Big Ten and named to the All Defensive team. Yarden Garzon was named honorable mention All Big Ten. And then just today, Mackenzie Holmes was named a finalist for the Lisa Leslie Award. So that's our news going around today. We're going to throw it over to Kathy to get her thoughts with the Amos angle.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. And thanks for all those folks out there listening to us late here on a Friday night. Check local listings. It's 10 o'clock my time. So I don't normally drink during a show, but I felt like a glass of wine after that show was appropriate. So cheers to all of those of you who are partaking with me, helping us cope with this and try to get our feelings in. It's been a topsy-turvy week for Indiana sports, right? We've had a lot of ups and downs for Indiana men's basketball, and we're leading into this. We've had a lot of injuries, right, with the last last game in particular with Mackenzie and Lily. We didn't know if they were playing, if they were ready to go, how ready they were to go. We know Sydney was already nursing an injury, and we'll talk about all of that when we get into the game. And I thought the team, you know, showed a lot of grit. What I didn't see was a lot of cohesiveness and a lot of shooting. It was just a lot of shooting woes tonight that really, I thought, really kind of did us in. Outside of that second quarter where we really kind of took control of things, the other three quarters were just some of the worst basketball I think we've played this year. We didn't play as a team. We didn't play cohesive. And again, I think you know, we're playing lineups that we didn't really play together all year. We never saw that starting five together. And to have to do that in a Big Ten tournament is not where you need to do it. You know, and then Jules being called on to come in, and eventually Lene came in and stuff. And then finally late McKenzie came in, and it just was probably all around not a good situation. Michigan was absolutely playing for their life in the terms of getting into the NCAA tournament. You know, they were definitely a bubble team needing to win this game probably to make sure they for sure got in. So there was just a lot of dynamics going on. But I think with your news headlines, Jeff, I think it's a good reminder for us all to try to put this into perspective, myself included. This was one game in a very long, but yet still a very good season, right? We had several players chosen, a couple players to the All Big Ten team, the second All Big Ten team, honorable mention, defensive team. We have McKenzie on the finalist for the Lisa Leslie Award. We only lost four games until this game all year. And I think we'll try to keep that in perspective as the macro, but tonight was just not a good night for Indiana women's basketball.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about that, Kathy, in terms of the lineups. And one thing is, this team has been built around, obviously, an All-American center, but even Lily Meister giving you a relatively positive post presence, and then being able to put four people out around. There were times tonight when they tried to play with Yarden as the five, and the post player playing more of a five, and then playing a five out, that you could just tell they were almost at times getting in each other's way. You could tell there were times when they weren't sure exactly where the cut was supposed to go. So it just was, again, they were trying to make some adjustments as they went through the week and got ready for the Big Ten tournament. But it's hard after you've played, you know, almost 30 games with a certain style to get, you know, to be like, okay, now we're going to try and really change everything we do from that standpoint. The other part that you mentioned, I thought just the shooting, you know, and just not making shots, is just, was this team, we'll talk a little bit as we get into the numbers, but you also have to question a little bit, and question is probably too strong a word, but this is a game where with McKenzie not being healthy, you really needed your other seniors to step up. And that's right. In essence, they did. Absolutely. What's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not even sure Sarah scored in the second half. At one point she hadn't, so maybe she got some there late when I was doing things besides maybe taking some good notes on what I was looking at. But and I thought Yarden, you know, tried really hard too, but again, she was playing out of position, and she's not the senior you're talking about, but what we needed was Sarah and Chloe to step up. And I said that several times in the first half, in our Discord, I said it to my husband, and I don't feel like we really got from them what we needed. You know, you lose your All-American, and you cannot any longer say from a Chloe Moore McNeil perspective, Chloe, we're fine with you only giving us assists. We needed her to give us some offensive production, and we did not get that from her. We did not need Sarah to go and only put up 14 points after. So she did score in the second half. I think she had 11 at halftime.
A late three.
Right. There you go. Thank you. I thought maybe I missed something. So 11 in the first half from Sarah, and then only three in the second half. Again, you have her on the first team All Big Ten for a reason. She needed to play like that tonight. And McKenzie being out wasn't really the reason for that. And so some of those, and it wasn't coaching either. You know, Coach Morin didn't coach them not to make those shots. So there are other things I'm sure we'll talk about around coaching decisions tonight that we can absolutely question, but the shooting woes of the team was not one of them.
No, and then it also, you look at earlier today, Ohio State gets beat by 20 by Maryland, yeah. And they were the one seed. And I'm still not convinced, and I know this may not be a popular take, I'm still not convinced having the double bye is always a good thing in this tournament. Because more often than not, the double team with the double bye seems to lose on Friday. And I think there was something.
Three of the teams lost today.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And And I think there is a positive to somebody like Michigan who played last night, or Maryland who played in Nebraska, who played and had opportunities to kind of get their nerves out, get a little used to the surroundings and find a little bit of rhythm. And it shows then they come in today. Now by tomorrow, their fatigue may start to catch up with them. But again,
right.
I'm just not totally convinced that the double bye, and you see it on the men's side too, how many times a team with the double bye loses on Friday, because they seem not ready, or the other team gets hot. And we saw this today, you know, I'll save it for the numbers, but Kathy, just a little bit, you know, but let's talk about this. Let's get to the elephant in the room a little bit before we move on and kind of talk. What'd you think of the decision to bring Mac in with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter?
So here's my take on it. Again, maybe it's not what others think. So maybe we should back up. I think what we learned earlier in the week was that we could go to the committee, the NCAA committee, and let them know that McKenzie was hurt, but she was available for the NCAA tournament. So worst case today would be, I think, what happened, which is that we lose the game, but we showed that she was healthy enough to play. So if we were going to play her, we should have brought her in somewhere in the middle of the third to try to stem that run that Michigan was going on to. Bringing her in with only, I think, 6 minutes left in the game, now she has sat 3.5 quarters. We've already lost the lead. Michigan's got all the momentum. And now we've shown the committee that she actually was healthy enough to play. It's almost like the tale of the worst of two tales that we could have told. So either you bring her in early in the third quarter or mid-third quarter, in my opinion, or you don't bring her in at all. And then at least you can go to the committee and say, yeah, you know, we kind of blew this lead, but our other players were tired. They were playing hurt. Lily was playing hurt. Sydney was playing hurt. We didn't have McKenzie at all. And so here's the reason, you know, why we are. But we know that McKenzie's going to be healthy enough by NCAA tournament time. You can't tell that story now because you played her for 6 minutes. And I think you took that card off of the table. And honestly, I'm pretty concerned about us being able to host at this point. You know, if this would have ended up being even a closer game, or we didn't play Mac, I think we could have convinced the committee that we still deserve that number four seed. But I think it's going to be really close. And I think we're going to need other teams that are around that 4-5 seed to really lose and help us out here. What are your thoughts, though, Jeff?
Well, first of all, I totally agree with that. I would have played her even earlier. If you were going to play her in the game, I would have gotten her in for a couple minutes, actually in the first quarter, and then maybe got her a couple minutes in the second quarter. I think if that was the plan, if she truly was available, then get her in early and give Michigan something to think about. I'm of the opinion that, again, I love Coach Moore, and I think she's done a heck of a job. I'm not going to jump off the bandwagon here, but it looked panicky. That's the one thing. It looked panicky when you put her in after you go down by four and at the timeout. And so I thought that was there. And I agree with you about the hosting. Now, I will say this. You mentioned it right at the end of it. The teams around us are going to be huge in terms of what they do. And a lot of teams that were battling for that four-line, five-line, Syracuse got blown out today in the ACC tournament. Louisville got beat today in the ACC tournament. By the way, if you haven't seen Jeff Waltz getting tossed today for Louisville, find that clip on YouTube or Twitter, because he got his money's worth. You know, Colorado has lost, Utah has lost. So but I agree with you. They've kind of slid backwards to where now they're that last three, you know, that last maybe or third, fourth seed where you're going to hopefully going to avoid. The one thing is a four seed, you want to avoid South Carolina because you get to the Sweet 16, you're going to get them.
That's right.
But it doesn't matter. You're going to play a one seed. You're more than likely going to be a four seed, even if you won today. More than likely a four seed. So you were going to play a one seed, no matter who it was. And I think it was Stanford right now who had Charlie Cream had us matched up with in the bracketology. So we'll see. And I'm imagining he'll be doing it every day or every couple days now. But I'm of the opinion also, I get it. I like the protected seed. I get that. And it's a home. But let's remember, teams have lost at home. We did last year. We lost to Miami in Assembly Hall. Stanford got beat at Stanford. It's not it's not everybody. You can't be panicky over the fact you have to go on the road. Good teams, mature teams, veteran teams are able to do it. And we've seen it time and time again. And that's what this team should be, is a veteran, mature team. So I'm not panicking. Now, here's the kicker for me, Kathy. I kind of want to get your thoughts on this before we move on. It's just like we're snake bit, though. 2 years ago, we get to the Sweet 16 and just had that bad draw with Connecticut. Connecticut was a better team. They were just, it was just not in stores, not a good matchup from that standpoint. Last year, Mac gets hurt. This was, and now this year, Mac's hurt again. Sid did, Sid looked like she re-aggravated something today. She was limping around pretty good, but she gutted it out. We got Lily hurt. at some point it's like, when will the injury gods give us a break at come into the season where we come, we have everybody healthy.
Right. It seems exacerbated this year in particular, right? I mean, Sydney was already hurt earlier this year, and we fought through that. I think we only had one loss without her, if I remember correctly. Someone can fact check me on that. But then the last regular season game of the year, we don't get one, but we get both of our post players hurt. And not just any post player. We get her All-American five-year senior, record holder in so many facets, hurt again. And now Sydney like you mentioned, it seemed to retweak whatever is going on in her foot. I don't think it was an ankle. It didn't look like she rolled it, which means, I agree with you. It looked like she probably did some, and she came back. Absolutely, hands down, kudos to her for coming back. Again, gritty performance from her, gritty performance from Lily. But we just needed more from all the people around her, around them, and, you hear it all the time, next player up and I just don't feel like we really got that from the rest of our team.
Sometimes you just run out of players.
Right. And that too. Yeah, exactly. And we can talk about that a little bit too. I mean, again, we have not been one to really question Coach Morin a lot. She has really earned her trust over the 10 seasons. But there are times we've questioned her. And tonight was McKenzie. Not playing Lene earlier is another one. I felt like she could have taken timeouts earlier in that third quarter too. I know she loves to save her timeouts through the fourth quarter, but what good does it do you if you're now down 10 in the fourth quarter and you let that lead slip away in the third quarter? I just thought there was a lot of questionable coaching decisions tonight that I didn't understand and that we don't normally see from this coaching staff. So again, I'm not like you, I'm not off of the Coach Morin bandwagon. I'm not saying that this is the end and after this year, it's all downhill from there. We have some great, we have recruits coming in next year. We have a great core coming back next year. We'll save that for the off season in particular. So I just want to make sure everyone understands that's not what I'm saying. I just thought tonight in that second half in particular, Michigan made some really great adjustments in halftime and we did a poor job adjusting to those adjustments.
Well, and the players on the floor, I want to give kudos out here. And I responded to her to Sue and the Workaholics. There was a lack of leadership on the floor because I thought Coach Morin tried to make some adjustments. We put a couple different people on Philia.
That's right.
That's a situation where you let a really good player get hot. And sure. Then we also tried to go zone. Sorry. Yeah. We also went zone and that really didn't work either because they finally started making some shots and busted that wide open. So I really give kudos. I want to say again, kudos to Sue. Cause I kind of thought this way as well. And she put it in the Workaholics. The kids on the floor have to show some leadership. You can't turn it over 7 times. I made the comment either on Twitter or in the Discord that, what was the third quarter? Yeah. 21% shooting and 7 turnovers in a quarter is not a winning recipe at a neutral site game. You allowed them to have some life. You hit the first shot of the second half, went up 17.
That's right.
From there on, that's a 30-point swing because your seniors who you were trusting. And again, I'm not trying to be bad. I'm not bad mouthing the seniors. No. I trust them.
That's what's expected of them.
Correct. Nobody took, I always used to use this analogy with my players and they sometimes look at me too, like I was nuts, but nobody was willing to take the bull by the horn and wrestle it to the ground. And that's what we needed from a Sarah or a Chloe or a Sydney. And honestly, we needed it from Yarden as well, but Yarden's not a senior. So I'm willing to give her a little bit of a pass.
Yes. And to be honest, I'm going to give Sydney a bit of a pass as well, just because I think she was really playing hobbled, right? And I thought she was absolutely out there showing hustle and doing what she could. Are we skipping pivotal plays? You want to just go jump into numbers?
Well, first of all, Kathy, let's at this point, are there really pivotal plays? I mean, if we win, I think but with the way it went, what pivotal plays other than, like you mentioned, there are a couple runs. The second quarter, I guess, was pivotal because it got us out to a 14-point lead. But yeah, just kind of the way the game went, unless you've got something specific you want to pull up.
One pivotal play. And it was the last one I wrote down in the fourth quarter. I didn't even write down the time exactly. Hanson from Michigan came down and hit three with, I think, 2 seconds left on the shot clock to make it 56-50. Less than two. That's right. To me, and that's where I quit writing down pivotal plays, because I looked at Sean and I said, my husband, and I said, we're done. Like, we're done.
Sharpie.
Exactly. It write it in. And I just knew it when she nailed that three. You know, it was just, it looked to me, you could see the deflation on her team. And to me, that was the defining pivotal play for the game.
And I agree totally with that. To me, if you really want to talk about a pivotal play, great catch there in mentioning that, because you had them down to under two on the shot clock. I want to say it was maybe even just right at one or even a little under, because it was really a catch and shoot for her. She had to get it up quick. And you had worked your tail off, forced them into what was going to be what should have been a really tough shot, figuring you're going to get either a 30-second shot clock violation or a rebound with a chance to come down and cut into the lead or tie, because it was 53-50 at that point. She hits the three. It's 56-50. Katie barred the door. Get your Sharpie out. As Don Meredith used to sing on Monday Night Football, turn out the lights, the party's over. And that's just what it really felt like. Great catch, Kathy. I love that.
Yeah, that's – I mean, I – I have a ton of notes in the other three quarters, three and a half quarters, but to me, that was the pivotal play that defined the game for me, and it kind of summed up the game. So
the other pivotal part I'll go to, and I think it was like over a course of time, we didn't write it down, but there was a point there. Yes, we already mentioned the seven turnovers alone in the third quarter, but they about four or five of them came in like five or six straight possessions. And that's when Michigan really got back in the game. And again, that's on your leadership on the floor.
Yes. And you know who stopped that? It was a 12-0 run from Michigan. Lily. Lily was the one who took a little hook shot to in that 12-0 run in the third
after
quarter.
After a timeout.
After a timeout. That's right. So, yeah, again, Chloe got her to the ball. So kudos to Chloe. And we've been kind of hard on her and Sarah so far in the show. But, you know, I hope that they reflect on that going into the NCAA tournament, because we need to remember we're not done yet. We do have NCAAs, whether we host or not. And we'll wrap this up, you know, after we talk more about this game. But Chloe did get her the ball, but Lily made that shot, and it was a hell of a shot. But that is what ended that 12-0 run. So I don't really know if we have any other pivotal plays we need to touch on.
No. Now let's go on to the numbers, Kathy, and I'll let you go first.
I think at one point we were shooting 22% from the floor. After that really great second quarter, we ended up shooting 42% in the first half, but then at the end of the game, we only shot 36%. So we had 22 made field goals. The nice thing is, I guess we had 13 assists on that, but that just the 13 assist number was really low for us tonight too. But again, you're not going to get assists if you're not making your shots, and 36% for us was really low. We shot okay from three for a while, but we just seemed to really never get going on the 3-point land, and ended up 35% from 3-point. We shot 42% in the first half and 35% for the game. So that tells you how that second half went, right? We went from 42% twos and 42% threes to 36 and 35% for the game, which means that we shot well below that in the second half. So it was just a really awful second half shooting.
And I'll kind of go with that, Kathy, as well. We only shot three free throws for the game. So that tells you alone that you weren't being aggressive. They were not even with the smaller lineup, they weren't really attacking the rim, attacking the paint per se. And that's going to be my next thing. And obviously Mac didn't play, but actually I'm going to skip to the next one because we talked about turnovers already. Here's the biggest stat of the game for me. Michigan outscores IU 24-6 in points off turnovers. That's the game.
Yeah, absolutely. That's an 18-point swing right there in a 13-point game. The other thing in the second half, Jeff, was points in the paint. We were winning points in the paint 18-14 in the first half. We ended up losing it by 12, 38-26. 38-26. So we had a 4-point advantage turned into a 12-point deficit. That was another 16-point swing in that second half.
24-8. I was quickly doing the math.
Thank you. Yes. So I just, like, again, I understand we didn't have Mackenzie Holmes, but we didn't have her in the first half. We didn't have her in the first half. And I thought that, you know, Lexi, for example, was really doing a nice job of driving and getting the ball in. You know, we had a few people that were driving and getting the ball in that first half. We just didn't do it. And we couldn't finish either. Like, I wish Quain was keeping his missed bunny count this game, because, boy, or maybe I don't wish that. No. Because I feel like we missed, there was one possession that we missed two in a row. And then Michigan ended up finally getting a rebound and going back on the other end and scoring. So just not a good offensive game from us at all tonight, either down low or from 3-point.
Yeah, and I'm going to go to another stat, Kathy, talking about just overall. Gave up almost 50, gave up 48 in the second half. I mean, this was a team that was, you know, only gave up 21 in the first half, and we gave up almost 50 in the second half. You know, the second half ends up being officially 48-21. We only scored 8 in the third quarter. That was the lowest in any quarter we've had all year. Even in the blowouts at Iowa, even the blowout at Stanford, we were like that. I'm also going to go to another one and go here. Layla Filia, kudos to her, but you can't let their star go for 30. You can't let their star go for 30.
And I that's think that was her career high. I'm pretty sure I heard Austin. Thanks. I was listening to Austin on the radio, and I'm pretty sure Austin said that was her career high. You cannot have that in a one-and-done situation. You just can't. Especially for a team that their calling card is defense.
Right. And that, but again, you weren't playing your normal lineups for that, you know, and that's the other thing that people sometimes don't understand. When you are trying to play that smaller lineup and you're saying Yarden's going to guard the five, but that's easier said than done sometimes, because you're going to have switches, you're going to have things. It just totally changes how you're trying to guard certain actions. Cause with that starting lineup, I'm sure their mantra was to switch everything, because it basically was a small to small switch. Whereas Mac might not be switching out, and they would know, or Lily, and they would know, okay, I got to fight over it. And you're going to get Filia, you know, so Filia is not going to get to maybe a, and I hate to say weaker defender, but not everybody is the same solid defender in the one-on-one matchup in the half court. Sarah Sky is a really good defender, but she's better off the ball, jumping a passing lane, being in the help side, than she is, for example, a ball on ball or on ball defender. With that. So I'll go back to you for a number.
Yeah. Before we move on, I do have a question. I know we mentioned earlier that when they finally went to zone, Michigan finally started to get hot from outside. They weren't though before. They were over 5 in the first half from the third, from 3-point land. I almost felt, and I said this in the Discord, and I'm not quite sure what your feelings are. I, again, thought we should have gone to the zone earlier. That was when Filia was really driving, and they just seemed to be really getting whatever they wanted in that paint. Again, we mentioned the points in the paint. I just felt like switching to the zone came again a little bit too late. But I don't know that it would have mattered, but I would have liked to seen it try it a little bit earlier. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I would have tried something. I maybe a little bit earlier, a few possessions earlier. But again, up and through the first half, you really were not having a huge issue. You held them to 21. But once they got to going, and once Filia got it kind of in her veins that she was right, you know, she couldn't be stopped, it became just kind of an avalanche from that standpoint. The other thing too about the matchup, Kathy, is, and this isn't to be bad about Lexi Bargesser, it's just the fact of where it is right now. She's not a 3-point shooter. So they basically matched up their post player. They matched up their post player with Lexi when she was on the floor and sagged all the way off to clog up the lane. So that was the other drawback to not having Mac. And now Lily played, as we said, banner moment, 22 minutes. Kudos, Lily Meister. But that it really did.
Lily, by the way. That block from Lily, too, by the way.
I thought Lily gave us as much as you can with that ankle, but the thing is, it clogged the lane. So if Lily or Mac wasn't on the floor, the lane gets clogged by that post, and Lexi's just not a shooter yet. She may be eventually before her career's done, but right now she's not a dependable outside shooter, so they just backed off of her. So that's the other thing about that lineup.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Back to numbers. Let's see. I'm honestly, I don't think there are any other numbers. We got out-rebounded 29-23. Same thing there. We were winning that 17-20 at halftime. So it was
Actually, it's 37-33.
37-33, we still lost. The nice thing is that I guess Michigan only got 4 second chance points. I know that's been kind of a bugaboo for us in the past, where we've allowed a lot of second chance points. So at least, you know, of the rebounds, it was their 29 defensive rebounds off of all of our copious missed shots that they were getting all the rebounds. At least it wasn't a lot of second chance points. That's the positive I have on it. I don't know, Jeff, I don't really have a whole lot of other numbers that I would really want to dive into, I think.
I actually will go the other way on that, though, Kathy. 4 second chance points for us off 10 offensive rebounds, that's not a good conversion rate. Because we had 10 offensive rebounds and only got 4 second chance points. So that's not a good conversion rate either. So, but again, in a game where you needed buckets and like you said, wish we'd seen Quang's numbers in the Discord to know how many bunnies we were missing, but probably we really didn't because it just was there. The only other number I'm going to point out here, and again, I'm not sure I would have played her in the fourth quarter. If I was going to play her, I would have played her way earlier and got her a couple minutes here and there. And I know plus minus is flawed, but it's one of my favorite stats. Mac played 5 minutes and were minus 12 when she was on the floor. So she didn't really bring anything onto the floor in terms of that. So
she got two fouls, missed her 2 shots again. And I'm not blaming her because she came in cold and a turnover. So no, I'm not surprised.
And by the way, speaking of numbers, kudos to the 824 people who are watching us live tonight on a Friday night. For some of you at 11:30 at night, this is awesome for doing the work. Cheers to you, as Kathy would say, from that standpoint. The other number I want to point out, Kathy, I'll save that for the game ball and the hardest work. Okay, so let's move on to the game ball award here. And Kathy's going to pull up, she's producing the show tonight. She'll pull up the scroll for you. If you're able to watch on the YouTube or the video feed, and you'll see that we have going across, Mackenzie Holmes leads this number right now with this is one of those where hard for me to see the screen when it's.
You want me to read them for you?
Yeah. What is that? Mac with 13.
That's right. Sarah with 6. Sydney and Yarden and Chloe each with 3.
All right. So then we got the numbers from Kathy, and I'm going to let her go first. I know we can have this debate about whether you give out game balls and losses tonight. We do. We give out game balls and losses. So I'm going to let Kathy go first.
Yeah. And this one, honestly, I feel like there's only one person I'm going to go to for my game ball, and that's Sydney Parrish. Sydney, who was second on the team with scoring with 13. She led the teams with rebounds with 9. And this was a lady that got hurt, went back to the locker room, and came back out and still gave everything that she could to try to will that team across the finish line. And that is, to me, what epitomizes somebody getting the game ball. I thought that she showed a ton of grit. She showed a ton of moxie, clearly playing through a hurt foot. She was limping around and everything. So for me, I think Sydney should get that game ball.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, obviously, you could look at Sarah Scaglia a little bit, but we also discussed a little bit earlier how we kind of felt Sarah really disappeared in the second half. We needed more leadership out of Chloe, we felt like. So I totally agree with you. The other thing, Sydney at least shot above 50%. She was 5 for 9 from the field, 3 of 5 on 3. So maybe we should have got her more shots. I know she went out of the game for a while and she was hobbling. I totally agree with you. But maybe we should have got Sydney some more shots. You know, easier said than done. Easier said than done. So that's going to give Sydney her 4th game ball of the year and move her up. It won't move her up the list, but it'll move her up to 4 game balls for the year. So that'll take us to the game ball. yeah. There you go. We're being positive with that part of it. So let's move on to the Grace Berger Grace Berger Hardest Worker Award. And again, this is one of those where we've had a lot of people winning this award, but it has really been dominated by Lexi Bargesser and Sydney Parrish here with 6 each. And Mackenzie Holmes with 5, Chloe Moore McNeil with 5, Sarah Scaglia with 2, Lene Beaumont with 2, Lily Meister and Yarden Garzon with 1 each. So again, it's been a lot of fun with the Graceburger Hardest Worker because we've had a lot of people to choose from. I'm not sure we have a ton of people to choose from tonight, but Kathy, you get to go first.
No, I don't think we have a ton. I landed on one. I landed on her really actually quite early. And for me, that was Lily. She did not have, in terms of stat line, what you would think if you're going to be picking somebody from an award. But again, the Graceburger Hardest Worker Award is not about your stat line. She did have, like I mentioned earlier, she had that, you know, nice hook shot to get her sole 2 points of the game. She had that wonderful block. She did have a few fouls. But you know what? She gave us 22 minutes on a very bad ankle. You know, I did not think that she would be available to play after the way that that ankle looked after our last game against Maryland. And for her to come out and not just play, but she played with effort, she played with focus as much as she could, and she played 22 minutes and gave everything that she could in those 22 minutes and then some. And to me, that's what epitomizes the Graceburger Hardest Worker. And so for me, she's getting my vote.
Yeah, I mean, you could have talked about Lexi Bargesser here a little bit. 8 points on 4 of 7 shooting, three rebounds, 2 assists, a block in 23 minutes. But I'm totally with you. I thought Lily gave us a solid 22 minutes. I really did. I thought based on what we saw and what you're talking about from coming out of Sunday, I thought Lily would be back for maybe the NCAA tournament, because to me, an ankle injury like that, which is what I suspected it was when she did it, might have been some concern there was a foot because of the way she kind of held the foot, kind of like grabbing almost like the bottom of the foot. But it, more than anything, in fact, found out was obviously an ankle. Once you can get to a pain threshold, it's just a matter of how much pain are you willing to, and how mobile can you be. Once you've established those two things that you can do, you can play. Now, how effective you are, that's an entirely different story. But I thought Lily played pretty darn well, Kathy. Like you said, she only had the one shot, 2 points, 2 rebounds, one turnover, but she had a block and a steal in 22 minutes. So I'm with you. We're going to give Lily the Graceburger Hardest Worker Award tonight, and that's going to bump her up to her second Graceburger Hardest Worker Award.
And I do, I think, Jeff, I think Lexi does deserve a great honorable mention for either award, really. I thought Lexi came in again and started for us again, filling in another starting role for another injured player. You know, she gave us a good 8 points. You know, she just doesn't have that jump shot that we need her to have yet. But I thought she gave us some nice minutes, too. So great honorable mention, I think, from Lexi. So.
Yeah, and I was trying to update something here real quick. Before we get to Record Watch, and before we get to Record Watch, Kathy, let's talk real quickly. I want to mention Yarden here. And again, I'm not trying to be totally like bad about Yarden, but on a night where Mac wasn't going to play much, if at all, Yarden was 3 for 15. She's got to find a way. And I know she's trying. And again, a lot of them struggle shooting the ball. But you're in that situation, Yarden's probably the one person that can go inside, outside a little bit easier. 3 for 15, and she was 1 for 7 beyond the arc. 8 rebounds, though. I thought Yarden battled on the glass. The 8 rebounds, she had 2 assists and 3 steals, but she just really struggled to shoot the ball tonight. And so I just want to get your thoughts on Yarden's game a little bit.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. We haven't talked enough about Yarden tonight. I think, you know, the issue for Yarden, maybe why we weren't saying her name more, is that 1 of 7 from 3-point land. Everything else about her game, I thought, was fine tonight. She had some good defensive effort. But yeah, the rebounding, she definitely stepped up, you know, where we don't necessarily see that, where she had, what did you say, 8 rebounds? Yeah. So I liked Yarden's game outside of, she was just cold, but everyone on her team for the most part outside of Sydney's 3 for 5 was cold tonight. So overall, though, I think, you know, again, she was playing out of position and doing something we've never asked her to do. And I'm sure until this week, we never would have thought to have to ask her to do. So she only had a few days to really game plan for today as well. 5 days, right?
It makes you wonder if it gets in your head a little bit. I mean, I remember being a player a little bit, you know, and even coaching sometimes being when you're thinking about asking a player to do something they're not usually comfortable with, they're probably going to say yes, but they're also, it's going to also be an analysis thing. They're going to be thinking about everything they do rather than just playing and reacting. They're kind of analyzing it. Sometimes that actually slows you down a little bit, but I'm not saying that happened. I'm just saying that would have been something I would have been concerned about, or maybe would love to ask her in a post-game press conference or next week as they get some time off, if they have a media availability, something like that. But I'm not laying it all on Yard, but again, it's just one of those where when you have four players who are veterans, one of them's got to find a way to step up. One of them's got to be that person, you know, give me the ball. And that seemed what to be missing tonight was, and we'd seen Chloe do this some during the season. Give me the ball. I'm going to go make a play. And that seemed, seemed like they just was missing tonight.
That's right. Okay. Anything else on that?
No, let's move on. And I guess record watch, I don't think there's a ton here. McKenzie didn't score at all tonight. So any chance she had of catching Calbert Chaney not only went out the door with her being scoreless, but not getting another game or two in the Big Ten tournament has probably doomed that effort. So, but no shame there. McKenzie's going to finish as the second all-time leading scorer in IU history. Sarah Scalia had 14 points, which got her to 1930. Now that's going to make it maybe a little more difficult for Sarah to get to 2000 for her career. She needs 70 points to get to 2000. But again, that extra game or two in the Big Ten tournament would have really helped her. I'm trying to look. Mac is still, you know, she had one rebound tonight, so 971 rebounds for the game. Actually, take it back. She didn't have any rebounds.
She didn't have any rebounds, right?
No rebounds. Sorry, I misread the stat sheet. So 971 for her career. Yes. So record watch kind of got, you know, kind of got stuck tonight in a couple places. But again, kudos to them.
Yeah. Although Sarah did make four threes for her, 12 or 14 points. So she did move up. She's 12 away from catching Steve Alford and tying him for 3-pointers in one season. So. She's at 95 for the year. So it's a good reminder again.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Kathy. You got anything else you want to add in here before we kind of wrap things up here for the Doing the Work show tonight?
No, I don't think so. I just think, not until we wrap up. I have nothing else until final thoughts.
All right. I'm just trying to put a comment in here. We don't know when our upcoming game is. We will have to wait over a week. The selection Sunday is not till next Sunday. Which is what will that make that
is it the next 17th? Sunday?
Yeah, it's next Sunday, the 17th. Because there's still some women. I'm not talking 2 days from now. I'm talking a week from Sunday.
Right. I thought it was a week after that.
I don't think so.
Don't they have the men's Big Ten tournament next Sunday?
And then that's when selection Sunday is right after the men's tournament.
You're right. So
we don't know when our upcoming game is. Kathy, I was going to ask you this off air, but we'll talk about it. I'm thinking, we need to have like a Selection Sunday show, though. Kind of take a look at where IU's playing and kind of take a look at the entire bracket. Yes. So let's plan on that. We'll let everybody know. Watch the Substack and watch the Twitter account. We'll let everybody know what time we're going to do a Selection Sunday Doing the Work. It'll kind of be our first time doing a Selection Sunday. So join us here. The 940 of you who joined us for a loss tonight, come back and join us for Selection Sunday or after a win. We're a little more fun than we have been tonight.
A little more organized.
But that's all right. But we appreciate all of you being here. It might be a record, by the way, tonight. I'm not sure we've ever had 950 almost 950 people live.
So welcome all to all your newcomers.
Yeah, sorry, keep coming back.
We don't have better news to celebrate.
So real quickly, Kathy, I'm going to take us around the Big Ten, then I'll get to final thoughts. Yep. But obviously today, Maryland won the first game of the day, 82-61. Then Nebraska won the second game of the day, 73-61. So they'll play the first semifinal game tomorrow. So either the 5 seed or the 8 seed is going to the final. And then Iowa blew out Penn State, 95-62. And then IU obviously lost tonight. 69-56. So Iowa and Michigan will be in the second game tomorrow. And real quick, Kathy, talking about the Big Ten, I put it out in the Substack today. I want to kind of get your thoughts a little bit. But pretty safe teams in Ohio State, Iowa, IU, Michigan State, Nebraska. I think you got to say Maryland's pretty safely in now with that. Michigan's probably safely in now.
I
think what Michigan's about, safe. Do you think Michigan's in safely? And B, what are your thoughts on Penn State?
I do think Michigan is probably in now. They might be one of the last four in or so, but I think this was their 20th win, right? And it was, you know, obviously, hopefully, a very good win. Penn State, I'm not sure. I think they're going to be a bubble team. I would not be surprised if Penn State does not get in. I also wouldn't be surprised if they do get in, but that was not a good loss today by Iowa. I mean, I should say that again. The margin is what's going to hurt Penn State, right? It wasn't a bad loss because they lost to Iowa. It was a phenomenal team. P.S. Congratulations to Caitlin Clark. We should at least give that out to her for breaking the 3-point record from Steph Curry. So she did break that with her 3-pointer, but Penn State was not good in that game. And, you know, Caitlin Clark didn't even go off for 30, 40 points in that game. And they still put up 95 on Penn State. So I would not be surprised if Penn State does not get in after that loss. So that's kind of where I'm thinking right now. But again, like we were talking about for us for seeding, it depends on what other teams go around, right? We still have a lot of Big 12 going on tomorrow. So by the way, everyone should probably be Iowa State fans. They're playing Baylor tomorrow, which would help us. Kind of start watching some of those kind of matchups and other conferences to see. And I think that's what's going to play into Penn State in particular right now. But I think Maryland probably signed the papers there, hopefully. And I think Michigan probably is pretty safe too. But what do you think? You're a little closer than me.
Well, I don't know if I don't follow it probably enough for the bracketology part. I'm with you. I think Penn State is sweating it out on Selection Sunday. They could get called, and they'll be one of those teams going to like a first four type matchup, or they're not in. They're not getting a bye. I don't see any way that they're one of those. They're one of the last four in, is what I'm trying to say. They're one of the last four in, and they'd be in one of those first four games. But they'll be sweaty. There's going to be a lot of sweat on the brows of those Penn State staff and players on Selection Sunday. I'm with you, though. Another thing is to keep an eye on the ACC. Notre Dame, obviously, there have been some discussions here in the Workaholics. Ari is a big believer that this loss for IU, I'm not totally in agreement with this, that this loss is going to end up sending IU to Notre Dame. As a 5 seed, fine, go up there. I'll play the Irish. I don't care. We'll take them on. Go beat them in their own place. But anyway,
I'd rather be there than Syracuse.
But then Syracuse lost today. But keep an eye, for example, Virginia Tech. Keep an eye on North Carolina State. Keep an eye on Notre Dame a little bit, because they're all playing the ACC tournament this weekend. And Virginia Tech has lost two of their last three. Their best player, Elizabeth Kitley, more than likely is out for the season. And so if they lose tomorrow, that's another one of those that's kind of with IU to keep an eye on that for that 4 seed. With that, so there's a lot of things going on around the country, and a lot of teams that would have been giving IU some run for their money if they were still playing in the tournament. Like we said already, Louisville lost, Syracuse lost, Colorado lost, Utah lost. So there's a lot, there's a lot of those types of teams. One thing that helped Penn State is Mississippi State got beat in the SEC tournament in the first round, so it got upset. So that's probably going to help Penn State a little bit, because at least Penn State won a game in the Big Ten tournament. So yeah, bracketology is weird. There's just not nearly as much. I remember having Andy Bottoms on when he was guest one night and asking him, he's like, he goes, yeah, there's some. He goes, obviously, Charlie Cream is the one a lot of people know, but there is not kind of that, that culture of bracketology on the women's side like there is for the men, like Delphi bracketology, Andy does it, all the different people. I think it'll grow. I think it'll continue to grow with that. So, but that's my feelings. Kathy, I'll real quick before we get to final thoughts too. Who do you have now to win the Big Ten? Tournament out of those four teams?
Iowa. I mean, I think Iowa's going to mop the floor with whoever they play, with Michigan tomorrow, and then whoever they play on Sunday. This will be 3 in a row for Iowa. It would be 4 in a row, but they lost when Caitlin Clark was a freshman. But they've been in the finals the last 4 years. They've won it the last two. I just don't see anyone stopping Iowa. By the way, for those who maybe don't follow as closely as we do, we have a lot of, new folks listening tonight. Iowa did that without Molly Davis and one of their starters. She was out today. She was on crutches. So I don't expect her to play tomorrow. Honestly, I don't expect her to play this whole Big Ten tournament now at all. Nope. I mean, I've read reports that they expect her to be back for postseason, but I think they're thinking NCAA is not Big Ten tournament. They didn't need her. Caitlin Clark went 0 for 11. 0 for 11 from 3-point before she finally hit that one to break Steph Curry's record. They have a lot of pieces around him, and they are playing really good. And interesting, maybe it's a little our fault, because Caitlin Clark in the post-game interview, she said, you know, that Indiana game really woke us up.
Well, I wish we were playing them again.
But yeah, that one, it just seems to me a no-brainer. But I don't know, that would be a huge upset if anyone besides Iowa wins it. You think differently?
No, I agree with you totally. I think it'll be Iowa and Nebraska in the Big Ten final, and I think that Iowa will win. Thing is here now, it will be really interesting also on Selection Sunday. Will Ohio State lose their one seed?
I think they
because do. They lost today, and I think they will. Now, part of that may depend on what happens out. Part of that may depend on what happens out in the Pac-12.
Yes, because
USC
true.
And UCLA, if UCLA or UCLA or USC happen to lose and not win the Pac-12, then that might save Ohio State. But I was just going to say, Kathy, kind of your thoughts here. If Iowa wins out here, I think Iowa becomes that one seed.
I do too. And if they continue to win by the margins that they won by today, they beat Ohio State too by, you know, what, 20 points when they beat Ohio State in the regular season last game. They keep winning by those margins in the next 2 days. I think they're easily a number one seed. And rightfully so. Really, absolutely. Especially, again, without Molly Davis. They're doing it without one of their starters who went down in that Ohio State game. So, I think that's what's going to happen. I think Ohio State probably just lost their number one seed, are going to drop to a two, and Iowa's going to take that slot.
And by the way, though, Iowa probably a little better equipped to cover up a guard like Molly Davis being injured than that's Indiana was with a post player. You know, especially when both your post players get injured.
Yes, absolutely. So,
Kathy, I'm going to throw it to you. Final thoughts about the game tonight.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So here's probably a good place for us to all take a collective breath and look at the positives. This was, before I get into it, we will wrap it up. This was not a good game. This is not where we wanted to be. But let's, again, remember where we're at. We've only had 4 regular season losses. We came in today playing lineups we never normally do. We're playing against a Michigan game that was fighting for their life to try to get into the tournament. There was just a lot of dynamics going on tonight that does not excuse some of the lack of leadership that we saw. But hopefully this is a wake-up call for us going into NCAAs. That's the important thing for us to remember. We're still going to be playing in postseason tournament. In the NCAAs. We may be hosting, we may be not. We're going to go out and root for some of those other teams that are around us to lose, like Virginia Tech and some of those other teams. It's out of our hands at this point. We've done what we could, and we're going to be there whenever they play again. We're all going to be amazing Hoosiers, and we're going to all root for them, because tonight was something to learn from, and we're going to just flush it now after we learn from it, take those 24 hours and take great lessons. And I think we're going to see a healthy Mackenzie Holmes. I saw in the chat that Ari was telling us during the post-conference, Coach Morin said that they expect Mackenzie Holmes to be full strength. So let's keep all of that in mind and take what we have this year. Don't let other things going on around the university kind of taint our view of what this program is, which was a 4-loss regular season program. We had a fantastic year. It is not reasonable for us to expect them to be a number one seed or even host, really, to be honest, year after year after year. It may feel like we should and deserve it, but we had a great year. We absolutely had a great year. And sometimes it's hard to remember that when we get mired down and see performances like we did tonight, to remember we have these great performances when we did beat Iowa, when we did have some of these other really great games that we've seen all year. And we'll be there to root like hell and cheer these women on when they play again in the NCAAs.
Well, and Kathy, real quick, I'll follow up with that. I thought kudos, ditto to everything you just said. And just remember, sometimes when you're winning, you get that feeling that you should never lose. But sometimes you're just going to run into a bad game. You're going to run into a good team. You're going to run into the combination of a good team and you play a bad game with that. So, you got to remember where we're at. And again, I would like to be at home, but I'm not going to panic. If Mackenzie Holmes is healthy, near 100% by the time we get to the NCAA tournament, I don't care where we're playing. But let's also remember that, like you were talking about the losses, and they mentioned this on the radio tonight or on the TV tonight, and they mentioned, I've mentioned this in the Substack a few times. Before tonight, three of the four losses were to the number two team in the country, the number three team in the country, and the number four team in the country. All right. That was three of your four losses before tonight. So three of your five losses are to three teams in the top four of the country. There's no shame in that. It just was, you know, we weren't quite that top. This was not last year where we were the number two, number three team most of the year. We've basically been around that number 12 to 15 range the whole season, and I'm okay with that. Would I like to be higher? Yeah. But like you said, Kathy, with some of the other negativity that's going on around with another certain program of, other programs, and specifically a program on the other side of Assembly Hall, don't let that ruin what's been a really fantastic season. Yes, was it a tough game tonight? Was it the game outcome we won? No. But we've come to believe that Terry Morin will take losses like this and bounce back and make it, the program better.
After the Illinois loss.
Yes.
We saw that after the Illinois loss. So let's remember that. We didn't like the Illinois loss either. Boy, did we come back and bounce back from that. And that was right before the Iowa game, right? So let's remember that and expect that we'll take that into postseason play for sure.
So, all right, let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
All right. So coming up next, we were just discussing this and we're still kind of finalizing the times and stuff, but watch our assemblycall.com website, watch our Twitter feed, or excuse me, our X feed. It's officially X. I still call it Twitter.
Me too.
I still think it's funny how journalists do it. It's, they'll put X, formerly Twitter, so everybody knows what it is. Formerly Twitter. But anyway, so Kathy and I are going to do a Selection Sunday show next Sunday. We'll let you know the time, but we'll be right here. Watch for this on the Substack or the Twitter feed, and we'll let you know what time we're going to be here on Sunday. That's next Sunday, not the 10th. We're talking March 17th, St. Patty's Day. And St. Patty's Day should never be on a Sunday, by the way, but oh well. All right.
Stupid calendar.
No doubt. But anyway. Our friends over at AC Radio will be back on Sunday after the men's game. That game's Michigan State. Against Michigan State. The tip time on that game is 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central. So plan for about 2 hours after the game, after the tip time. Could be an interesting game. The Hoosiers have won three in a row, but again, with some of the things going on around the program, that could be an interesting. It will be Senior Day. I think another thing to keep an eye on that would be who all takes part in Senior Day on Sunday for IU, because they announced today that they didn't know for sure who all was taking part in Senior Day. So I'm digressing. This is not the men's show. But hey, if you want to see us do the show live and be a part of the live chat, like over 1,000 of you were in here tonight, again, I'm just mind blown that after a loss on a Friday night, 1,000 of you wanted to come in here and listen to Kathy and I. Awesome for you to be here. Keep coming back. Spread the word to your friends. Make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@ Back Home Network. Again, youtube.com/@Back Home Network. You can be a part of our private community as well. Find out more at assemblycall.substack.com. Special thanks to John Ringer of Rig Designs .com for designing our logos. Also, a big thank you to Bob Thompson for our music you heard throughout the broadcast. I want to thank Kathy for being here tonight and being such a great co-host. I want to thank everybody who is here in the Workaholics and anybody else who's listening on your favorite podcast feed. And thank you guys for everything. We'll be back to talk IU and NCAA hoops with you again next Sunday. And so until then, keep your elbows in, your eyes on the rim, and let's go Hoosiers.
All right.
Wow. We should lose more often and get 1,000 people in here after a game. Either that or they really needed to listen to us vent so they could kind of vent themselves.
They needed to vent.
Kudos, everybody.
I know. Wow. This is not what I was expecting to be talking about today.
Absolutely, I'm floored. I'm happily floored. Thanks for being here. Keep coming back.
Yeah, oh, wow. Hope so. Yeah, please join us more often.
I see Joe's comment now, you know, but I want to wallow in misery.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes it's easy to do that, especially after a loss like that. It's really easy. Like, I was really hot. That's what I wrote back to Todd, who also was like, thanks for calming me down. Like, I needed this myself. I was really hot after the game for a number of reasons. But, you know, we all invest a lot of time and energy supporting all of our programs, right? And let's start out too, like, again, you know, now we're done with the show. So everyone's been so focused on the men's program. You know, we've had a roller coaster ride this week, and we're not going to get into that. You know, this whole week has been up in the air for women's basketball because we didn't know about the injuries, and today just really didn't turn out how we wanted to. But let's remember, there's so many other things going on around the university. There's great things they're doing academically. Our swim teams, both the men and the women, both just won Big Ten tournament. They have a ton of people qualified for the NCAAs coming up. Our baseball team is expected to be really good. You know, we will have soccer again. We have exciting things going on in football. Now we haven't seen it on the field, but you know, there's stuff going on in football. So sometimes we just have to take a bigger breath and remember there's so much more to Indiana University sports than just one program. And so I think that's what we're seeing tonight, is people seeing that. And there are, and again, like, not the results we wanted tonight by any stretch of the imagination. Like, if we could take that second quarter and multiply it, we would have won, right? But they just couldn't sustain it. And again, weird lineups, injuries, Felia just went off and went crazy on us. There's a lot of noise going on in tonight. And so one thing I have with this staff and with this program, we've seen over the last how many years, Jeff, they'll bounce back from this. And I expect to have a really great NCAA performance, at least the opening weekend.
If everybody gets healthy, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. If everybody gets healthy, I hope she's up front, you know, or I don't know how to phrase this. I just know there's coach speak. I know that I'm going to want Pete teams, even if my best player is not healthy, I'm going to make it sound like she is, or she could be healthy in a couple of weeks. I want that team guessing until I absolutely have to tell them she's not or can't play as much as I'd like. So there's a lot of coaching me with that, but Kathy, I totally agree with you. But part of that is, and I get it, this is a fan base that has really come to really love this program because they like the way the team plays. They like the character of the kids. They like the way Coach Morin deals with things. And they're invested. And what happens when you're invested is then all of a sudden when you do get a bad loss, like, and tonight was one. We can't sugarcoat it either way. When you're up 17 and you lose by 13, a 30-point swing, you're invested. That's fine. But don't just jump off the deep end either and talk about how, well, you know, they're never winning a game again. They're not going to get out of the second round. They didn't make adjustments. It's the same old same. You know, games happen. Games happen. And for those of us who've been around IU women's basketball for a while, where they are now over the last 10 years, especially Terry Moore, but more specifically the last 5-6 years, where they're winning 25 games a year, they're going to the NCAA tournament easily. We're not sitting around asking, wonder if they'll get in. This is a far cry from where we were when this team was lucky. This program was lucky to win 9 games a year and get 1,000 fans in the stands. So
that's right.
You got to remember that, you know, take the good with the bad. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to lecture anybody about it, but just remember that and I get it when you're invested and you're passionate, but just remember the kids play hard. They're trying. They may not have played their best. They may not have executed, but this team plays hard.
That's right. And I don't care what other people are saying on Twitter right now. I haven't looked at Twitter for a long time. Pardon my French, but I guess we're done with the show. I don't give a shit. Those women played hard.
We're still live, but that's fine.
I know, but you know what I mean. Whatever. It's not the official show anymore. We're after dark.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah,
hard. There was no place in that game where I looked at Sean and said, you know what, they just quit. I never thought that. It just, they looked confused on offense. They didn't know what to run. They, you know, you could see they were trying to talk to each other. It just wasn't working, but I never thought they quit. Never thought. So, and that's, you know, sometimes all we can expect. And so, yes, we get, again, we get expectations. We want to compare the team to last year. Well, you know, it's not last year's team. We don't have Grace Berger anymore. And she was such an integral part to the team, both from an offensive production, a defensive standpoint, and a leadership standpoint. She was a huge hole to fill. And we cannot expect to get number one seeds year after year. So again, just we'll all take a breath, and we can't expect a host every year either. And eventually, Jeff, curious, do you think eventually NCAAs are going to get rid of hosting for women, right? I mean,
they have to
go that way, right? So yeah, eventually this is a good way to be a non-issue in terms of, are we hosting, are we not? But it is still, so I get it. It's a big
And what helps with that, Kathy, is a Big Ten, a league like the Big Ten tournament selling out a neutral site venue.
Exactly.
All the way through. That's what you got to get more of. That's the reason they haven't done it yet, because I think they know that from a competitive standpoint, it really needs to get to that point where the men are, where everything's a neutral site. But they need some of the revenue that teams like a UConn, an IU, or, you know, those traditional Iowa programs that can, they know they're going to sell out those arenas based on, you know, being at home. Yeah. So
Iowa's clearly, I mean, if anyone was watched the Iowa game before this game, they know that 90% of that crowd was probably from the Iowa fans traveling. Again, some of it is Caitlin Clark. Some of it, though, is proximity. But to be honest, you know, for those of you who don't know, again, new time comers, I live in Des Moines, Iowa. I've lived here for a while. They have had a strong following for the Iowa women program for a long time, even before Caitlin Clark. So everyone wants to say, oh, it's the Clark effect. That's a huge part of it. And so don't get me wrong. It's a huge part of it. But the Iowa women basketball culture has been there for a long time. It's just grown. And it traveled, and then they just got lucky with it being in Minneapolis. Again, I'm in Des Moines, which is right in the center. We're only about 3.5 hours from Minneapolis. So it's an easy, easy shot to get up there for everyone. And if you live on the border, it's even easier. So not surprised where most of the fans were from.
And Kathy, you know that area a little better than I do, but there might even be some Iowa fans living across the border in, you know, in Minnesota or up toward Minneapolis. So
yeah, for sure.
So anyway, hey, let's get out of here because it's late.
Let's do it. It is. And I got to finish.
Appreciate all of you. Just still blowing my mind how many of you are
here. I can't believe there's still 1,084 people sitting on here listening to us blabber on. So thanks for listening to blab on at 11 p.m. on a Central Standard Time. So, all right. I'll end it.
Good night, everybody.
We'll talk to everybody soon next Sunday. So take care.
Yep. Next Sunday. Yep.